Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Proverb 31. Proverb 31. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. In the fruit of her hands she planteth vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for your great love and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this group of people who have gathered together on this Mother's Day, this Lord's Day. And I pray for each one of them, my Lord, that you might speak to their heart, that you might challenge them, that you might comfort them, that you might convict them, that you might challenge them, change them. I pray, Heavenly Father, all of us will hear from your book at your mouth, and that, Heavenly Father, today we might be the better for having been here. I just pray, my Lord, that you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people and save the lost. And everything that's done, may it be for your glory and honor, and may you receive the praise, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us are familiar with Proverb 31 and the woman that is described there. She's called the virtuous woman. And she has been used as an example of the consummate biblical woman. And although biblical womanhood is under attack by her foes and neglected by her friends, God has described her in these verses. It says that she talks about her value in verse 10. Talks about her virtues in verses 11 through 27. And then it speaks of her victories in verses 28 through 31. She is the combination of all good things, and she's an example to all Christian women. Now today is Mother's Day, and I would like to look at the Proverb 31 woman as an example. Not only to mothers and women who are with us today, but also to men and fathers who are here as well. The qualities of this woman are qualities to be found in all Christians who claim to be born again. So gentlemen, listen up, because these are lessons for you as well as for the women in our congregation today. Now, I do not subscribe to the modern theory of you can be a better man by being a better woman. I don't even understand that. But I do subscribe to the truth that we can be better men and better women by being more biblical men and more biblical women. While studying what God has recorded about this woman, we're going to see several things. Number one, this morning, we're going to see the character of biblical womanhood. Biblical womanhood is and should be different from that which is simply secular or worldly in nature. There are at least seven different character qualities found in this woman, and the first one is virtuous in verse 10. That word virtuous means to have integrity. It means to have morality. And this word is used in the Bible in different contexts to refer to strength, to ability, to efficiency, to wealth, and to valor. The second one is trustworthiness. In verse 11, her husband, it says here, can trust safely in her. He has a confidence in her. And what is this confidence? It's in verse 12, that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The next, number three, is industrious. In verses 13 through 27, we have this is perhaps her most prevalent characteristic. There are more verses talking about her industry than any other character quality in this proverb. Now, the Holy Spirit uses 15 verses to describe what she does. Virtuous women are busy women, and they do, and they do, and they do. They're doers, and moms are doers. I know that. I've watched my wife be that doer for her children. And so here her industriousness is mentioned. She does what she does because she is what she is. These are the words which God uses to describe her industry. Seeketh, worketh, bringeth, riseth, planteth, girdeth, maketh, delivereth, and strengtheneth her hands. That's a whole lot of doing, isn't it? When we gave an award just a few moments ago for the oldest mother still working, every mother in here is a working mother, right? Just because you don't go out into the workplace and work in the world system doesn't mean you don't work. We appreciate your work, your hard work, your industriousness. Next, in verse 20, she's generous. She stretches forth her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. The fifth one is she's wise, verse 16. She considereth the field. There's that word, considereth. And then in verse 18, we have the word perceiveth. These words tell us that she did nothing rashly or without due diligence of thought. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so she is virtuous and trustworthy and industrious and generous and wise. And number six, she's reverent. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And this is what truly makes her wise. She fears the Lord. She has a reverence and a respect and an awe of God. You see, God is in her life. And God is in her house, and God is in her work, and God is in her heart and in her mind. Job chapter 28, verse 28, the Bible says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We wonder, we look around the world and we see such a lack of wisdom. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have a reverence and a respect and an awe and a faith in God, you don't even begin to have wisdom. That's why so many crazy decisions are being made today. There's no fear of God. Man thinks he can just do what he wants to do and run his own show. Yeah, we'll run our own show. We'll run it right into the ground. Amen? While worldly women are chasing after favor, and that would be popularity, according to verse 30, favor is deceitful. And while worldly women are chasing after beauty, that's also there in verse 30. But beauty on the outside is the least valuable beauty. Women are getting all kinds of surgeries and makeovers to be beautiful on the outside while leaving the inside ugly.
There's some beautiful people that are just as ugly as can be on the inside. And there are some people that you might think they're not very attractive, but they're beautiful on the inside. That's what really counts, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." Listen, we can clean up the outside, but only God can clean up the inside. And some were so worried in the 21st century about being clean as the Board of Health on the outside, but we're not allowing God to clean up the inside. You know, you can give me a cup that's just squeaky clean. You pick it up and it goes, and I look inside it, and there's mold growing in there. I'm not drinking out of that cup. But you can give me a cup that has some stains and maybe even some dirt on the outside of it, and I look inside that cup, and it's squeaky clean. I'll drink out of that cup. That's this woman. I don't know what she looked like on the outside, but I know what she looked like on the inside. That's what really counts. What's on the inside can make the outside beautiful. But what's on the outside cannot make what's on the inside beautiful. Her seventh quality is she's dignified. Look at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She's dignified. She's not haughty. She's quietly confident. She's Christ-dependent. And she carries herself as the daughter of the King of Kings. What she is on the inside dictates what she is on the outside, which is based on who she is in Christ. Number two, let's look at the contributions of biblical womanhood. The contributions of biblical womanhood that they make to the home, to the church, and to the society are innumerable. And one message is woefully insignificant to extol the contributions of biblical womanhood. The trend in modern society is to mock, ridicule, and belittle biblical womanhood. And I just have to say this. Men in women's sports belittles womanhood. Now you might not agree with that, but you're wrong. I was thinking, I'm middle age. I thought, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna identify. And I'm gonna go into women's weightlifting in the middle age bracket. I'll go in the old ladies bracket. Because I'm old, right? I'll win everything. I'll have every medal. And I'll be embarrassed as I can be. God made men different. Praise God, He made women different. Amen. I don't want to be married to me. No, I don't want to wake up every morning and see me. No, no, no. It's bad enough when I look in the mirror. But to wake up and go, ooh. To the secular crowd, biblical womanhood is passé. It's outdated. It's a relic of the past to be relegated to the dustbin of history. There was, years ago, an advertising slogan, some of you may remember it, for a certain cigarette company promoting itself among women. And it would show a woman puffing on a cigarette and would say this, "You've come a long way, baby." Now, how many remember that one? Yeah, how far have you come? You've come a long way toward cancer, baby. Now you can get cancer just like men. You can get lung cancer. You've come a long way in the wrong direction. You've come a long way from where? You've come a long way from biblical womanhood. A long way from modesty. A long way from righteousness. And you've come a long way from God. And yet, it is the very institution of biblical womanhood that provides morality, modesty, and the underpinning of society. It has been biblical mothers in the context of American history who have raised up leaders and tycoons and presidents, not to mention the pastors and the preachers of America and the missionaries of the world. And what is it that causes modern society to mock and ridicule biblical womanhood? It is a rejection of God and His Word at worst, and a relegation of God to societal irrelevance at best. It is the presence and practice of biblical womanhood that makes a house a home. It makes society livable, and it makes the church great. Let's go to number three, the consequences of losing biblical womanhood. What has been the consequences of losing biblical womanhood? Failure of the home, fracture of society, and the fall of the church. It's no coincidence that the fragmentation of society closely follows the fizzle of the church and the deterioration of the home. The attack on biblical womanhood is an attack on all three institutions, the home, society, and the church. And it only leads to chaos, anarchy, and eventually the Antichrist. If you'd like to, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. You can follow with me if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth." That's God saying what it's going to look like in the last days. Kind of looks like these days, doesn't it? And what precipitates such a thing? It's a turning from God. And in turning from God, a turning from biblical womanhood. Women who love God and know God and raise their families according to the Word of God. Women who serve God. Women who teach their children about God. Women who are an example of godliness. This chaos is the inevitable end of waning biblical womanhood in the last days, a generation raised without the influence of a Proverbs 31 woman. And then lastly, the combat of biblical womanhood. The world, the flesh, and the devil work in concert to weaken and destroy biblical womanhood. It is a constant battle for the Christian woman to stay the course. And those of you that are sitting in this room as Christian women and Christian moms and Christian grandmoms, you know what I'm saying. You know, you want to live for the Lord and you want to live according to the Word of God and you want to honor Jesus with your life, but it's so difficult because you've got the world, the flesh, and the devil all working against you. It's a struggle. It's combat. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. The world will entice you, the flesh will betray you, and the devil will make sure that your attention is focused upon your failures in order to discourage you and defeat you. Remember this, the devil is a liar. And he was a liar from the beginning. From the very first time he ever talked to human race in Adam and Eve, he lied to them the first time he talked to them. And he's been lying to you ever since. And what he wants to do, dear Christian woman and dear Christian mom, he wants you to focus on your failures. And you all have them. And every man in this room has them. And sometimes we feel like, you know, well, what can I do? Or I'm no good. Or I'm not worthy. I'll tell you how good you are. There's none good, no, not one. But I'll tell you how valuable you are. Christ Jesus came and died on the cross for you and shed his blood to pay for your sins and was buried and rose again so that you could go to heaven. That's how much value you have to him. He didn't come to save you because you're good. He came to save you because you were a sinner on your way to hell. And once he saves you, he gives you a new life, a Christian womanhood to live on a different level than you could ever live life on your own. Though it is true that it is impossible for a woman to be the perfect woman, it is possible to strive for the mastery and press toward the mark. As the Apostle Paul said. You see, when we read this woman in here, we look at this woman and someone says, well, who can be that? Well, maybe nobody can be that 100%, but you can be more like that. You can try to be like that. You can ask God for grace to be like that so that you can be the blessing she is. I'll be done soon. That's okay. There we go. Okay. All right, we're all good, right? All right. It is possible to be better. It is possible to be biblical. And it's possible to be beautiful on the inside, isn't it? The 21st century is not unlike every century that's preceded it. In every generation, men and women have had to stand against the tide of ungodliness and unrighteousness of the world. Every generation has had its own unique battles to fight and temptations to overcome. But you were born for such a time as this. This is your day. This is your time. And this is your opportunity, dear lady, to make a difference for the Lord Jesus in someone else's life. First of all, in your children's lives. Second of all, in your husband's lives. And if you don't have children or you don't have a husband, there's all kinds of people you can make a difference in their lives. A godly difference. To raise them up. To encourage them and strengthen them in the things of the Lord. You cannot do anything about the past. But you can influence the present. And you can impact the future. The Proverbs 31 woman was able to do what she did because she was what she was, and what she was a biblical woman, a true believer in whom dwelt the Spirit of the living God. I'm going to close with two questions. Number one, are you a born-again child of God? You know, in John chapter 3, Jesus said, except a man or woman. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she felt like, you know, she couldn't do much, and she was sick and weak, and I said, you can pray. And I said, you know, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous woman availeth much. She said, it says man. I'm just trying to be nice, right? You know, when it says like man, it means mankind. It means includes women too, right? I wasn't trying to be politically correct. John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man or woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My dear friend, you might be here today, you might be watching and listening. If you've never been born again, Jesus said, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to get a glimpse of the kingdom of God. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Luke said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace, Paul said, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the first question you need to ask yourself today, whether you're a woman or a man, you need to ask yourself, am I born again? The second question I want to ask is this. If you are born again, is it your desire as a woman to be a Proverbs 31 woman and to make biblical womanhood a goal in your life? And gentlemen, are you willing to pursue the goal of biblical manhood? Or are you content with a stale, unstable, and sordid, warmed over facsimile of manhood that's fostered by the world? I think if anybody knows what a man ought to be, it'd be the God who created the man. And if anybody ought to know what a woman ought to be, it'd be the one, the God who created the woman. Amen? So if you're not a biblical woman and you're not a biblical man, you're only a reasonable facsimile of what God originally intended. But if you get born again, the Spirit of God will dwell in you and He will enable you to be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. And let me ask you, dear sir, whether you be a husband or a son, a father or a friend, what are you doing to help the women in your life to become all that they can be and to do all that they can do? It's not enough, gentlemen, to desire a Proverbs 31 woman in your life. You must be willing to facilitate the spiritual and personal encouragement of such a woman. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask a few questions of those of you that are saved, and I want to ask this. In what area, dear Christian, is your greatest struggle? You sometimes ask the question, what's the use? Or what difference does it really make? What makes a difference to your family? It makes a difference to your church. It makes a difference to society around you, and it makes a difference to God. These are the last days, and biblical womanhood and biblical manhood are more needed today than ever before at any time in human history. And we may be as far away from it as we've ever been. Determined by the grace of God to be that woman, to be that man, step up to godliness and righteousness and biblical victory. But perhaps you're here today and you've never been born again. Without a greater source of power and wisdom, you cannot rise to such heights as the biblical woman or the biblical man. You will never attain true wisdom or know the true power over self until you become a new creature. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this being a new creature is not something you achieve or produce or bring upon yourself. It's something only God can do. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Only God can give you the power to become his child and enter into the benefits of being so. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. There is a day of reckoning coming, and a day of judgment will be dispensed. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Only the Lord Jesus can forgive sins and grant eternal life. Are you ready? Are you ready right now, right here? Are you willing to trust Christ as your Savior right there in your seat? I'd like to help you with that. We can pray together and you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and forgive your sins and give you the gift of eternal life right now, right here. You say, preacher, I want to do that. I want the gift of eternal life, and I'm ready right now in my seat to receive it. Would you look up at me if that's what you want to do? We'll pray together. It's just you and me and God. Just look at me. Yes or no? Okay. Anyone else? I'm looking around. Now look up at me so I can tell. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I'm ready. I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to be born again. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, but it's not a magic prayer. It's not a formula. It's something you believe in your heart. And when you pray in your heart and believe it, God sees it as faith. So why don't you close your eyes, pray this to the Lord. Say, dear Lord, I agree with you. I'm a sinner. And I agree with you. I can't go to heaven on my own. But I believe Jesus came and died for me and rose again. And right now, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive my sins, save my soul, and I'm asking you for the gift of eternal life, and I thank you for it. Amen. Did you pray that prayer? Did you mean it in your heart? According to the Word of God, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Father, thank you for your kindness today. Thank you for these women that are here. Some are moms, and some are grandmothers, and some are not moms, but yet they're women that have an impact on others. And I pray it helped them today to be more than they've ever been. And I pray for the men in our room, too, that we would be more aware of the fact that we have a responsibility and duty to facilitate the women in our lives, to help them to be better and more by the grace of God and for the glory of the Lord. I pray you'd guide us and direct us in the invitation. And Father, you might get all the glory. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing song, which is 595, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And maybe today you'd like to come and just come and talk to the Lord at the altar and say to him, here am I, Lord. I present my body as a living sacrifice. Maybe this morning you'd like to come. I want to be that biblical woman. I want to be that biblical man. Maybe you'd like to come today and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now help me to be all that you want me to be and do all that you want me to do. We're going to sing this hymn, number 595, the first stanza, You Come As the Lord Leads.